faithful for the work of your Holy Spirit in the deadness and darkness of the dark, a person may not be endured. We are thankful that the glory and the power of the Holy Spirit has been brought from death to life and from darkness to light, and we have been, we who are so unwilling to come to Jesus, were made well. Father, you have drawn us to your Son. You have enrolled us to repent. You have enrolled us to believe. You have enrolled us to resolve the story of the pain to follow Jesus, and we are so, so thankful for your mercy and your grace. God, we understand and praise you. And as John said earlier, we would all be an enemy of God were it not for your love and your mercy and your grace towards us. God, help us to keep that tomorrow. Help us even this day to say with new resolve and with fresh enthusiasm, I will press on. I will keep going. I will continue. I will carry my cross. I will deny myself. I will follow Jesus. I will embrace God's love and God's purpose for my life. Whatever I may otherwise be inclined to do. And God, we are conscious even as we are listening to these words that undoubtedly there will be people connected to our congregation, people that we know in a simple influence, and people all around this town and body who right now are facing the temptation to step back. The circumstances of their lives are such, the difficulties that have met us in the way are such, and the opposition that they are experiencing because they are following Jesus is such, that they are tempted to the words of this song to turn back. God, cause that spirit to rise up within them today. That we see in the testimony of the disciples when they were saying to Jesus, the same time ago, you have the word of eternal life. God, wherever people are struggling to make, wherever people are weary to make, wherever people are under pressure to make, wherever people are feeling, you know what, it would just be easier not to be a Christian. It probably felt easier before I joined the cross. God, let me see what fresh eyes and get a new way. And rather difficult to say that this is the way to life. And this is the only way to life. And there is no way apart from Jesus. For all people, wherever your soul is made, stand up in your feet again. Help us to be a means of an encouragement upon the right feet again. Stand up and stand strong and keep pressing on. God, we love you and we are just with the mission that you have given us. For others are struggling under the wheels of responsibility that you have sent before. For others, God, has sent that you have fallen on their life and yet God has just really given us something. God, turn this to us and let us and be pleased in the gift. So I wholly thank you, Lord, for the one who set his feet rattling towards the cross. The one who would say, what am I going to say? Take me from the power and the cross and bring me from the cross as it comes. Thank you, Father, that because of the obedience of Jesus, we are here today and able to go to the book. It is done. It is done. All of you for all salvation is done. God is We thank you for that. These are the many ways that seem to be not least to make all the girls and girls and young people. And so, God, we are conscious tonight that over and over again in different places and in different ways over these next couple of months, that call will go out again. Will you decide, man, God, you know that any of us can say anything. We understand the call. And all of us in the different people will be feeling it and coming to the front page, coming to the room, coming to the front page. Holy Spirit, move through the preaching and teaching and sharing of the gospel. We believe that all our hearts will feel come home and see you. The Bible is a second of the times of ministry that this table creates for Paul and Nathan, others have been involved in the center of the process of the church and around the church and hope you will be involved. Thank you for your blessings upon these lessons and opportunities these things render to you. And God, we're thankful to you for these things who work for us to be served by our ministry. And we're especially thankful to you that you and Spirit and Holy Father, all our Father, God, pour your blessing upon us, God, with blessing, physical, and emotional and spiritual entity, satisfying even the very rest of satisfying in their faith for your work and your doing. God, we love them for all and be grateful to Stephen, Lord, to take a part of the study book, Lord, again, pour your blessing mightily upon them. God, may they not only be able to enjoy some rest and some sunshine and be able to lead a better life, God, may they come back to that joy that you put for our land upon. The peace of God, plain just being with God, with the peace of God. God, we want to pray tonight that God will make them a true thing to the right place. Thank you for this life for you. Thank you for his heart for you. Thank you for his hunger for you and for your work. Oh, that word to you, oh, don't let go. It is not usual. The Father, we hear and accept you. And may we in your mercy be doers of your word and not hearers. And may God help our missing people to be those who have followed Jesus and love our Lord. So Holy Spirit, Son of the flesh, and living the flesh, and anointing the flesh, and holy one, to us as we are, may we attend to that word as to a right spirit and return to you. God, help us in prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nathan. Yeah, I'm a musician there. I've been producing the line for the last probably 8 months or so. I'm coming here, coming over to the lads and getting a bit sick. But I went here maybe 3 years ago, I think, for the value of numbers. I went one night, I'm not going to get traffic as well, I think they're me. I was just fantastic to get the cup of tea. I'm talking and thanking all the world. Thanks for all the rain, actually, because I want to get on to go when I'm actually came here. I wasn't going to go bad, but I've been going through this trip of Greenland, Christine. My mom's Christine also, he used to ask me who the mentor was, and I said, I'm Mark or Reggie Adam. And he just happened to say, two things that out, well, me and Reggie go back a long way, and I think when my mom's dad were in the other street, Leslie and Tanya were both there at the same time, so that is, and it's great, so. It's a small world, anyway. But, tonight's topic is obviously from the family of the folk, you know. Well, yeah, but I left here from Fairfax on Friday, and I have got the privilege of doing Love Your Enemies. Before we actually go into talking about Love Your Enemies, I thought it would take a 55 minutes to recap on a few of the verses before that. I'm probably not getting into the story while we're doing that. So this is the first slide that I will put in, and this is what the gist of Loving Your Enemies is all about. I'm turning on the mic, and you can see you've got murder, relationships, adultery, retaliation, divorce, and hate. And what Jesus was going to do, what he was going to challenge all the people on all these different areas that they had already maybe learned about in the Old Testament, and he was going to give them a new thought on them. The gist of Matthew at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, because it forms such a grand public declaration of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. It is nothing like anything that Christ had ever heard before. It is going to be radical, it is going to be life-changing, and it is going to be the complete opposite to what they have been taught by the rabbis and teachers of the law. So all these things that you see, they are going to get turned in upside down, and their thinking is going to be completely different. In verse 1, we learn that Jesus saw the crowd coming to him. So he went up on a mountain, this is verse 1, chapter 5. He saw the crowd coming to him, so he went up on the mountainside. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Jesus was the rabbi or teacher. There's a wee picture here. So this is a bit like a true PowerPoint, far as it is. And you can see in the picture that Jesus is actually the one who is sitting down, and the people are actually standing. And this is not like what we do today. We stand up, the person who speaks, and everybody else sits down. So that's what we're trying to do for the foreigner. Common behavior was to the teacher, you can sit down and let everyone else speak. Now, if you can draw your mind for a second to what one of your friends might have sounded like. I'm often, when I'm reading the Bible, I've got a little letter Bible, and when you see Jesus' words in red, it often stands out more to you, and I like the Bible like that. And it must have been absolutely amazing to sit there and listen to what he had to say. It must have been amazing to hear the authority in the voice. I'm a Christian, I'm sorry, the way he taught spoke and spoke to the people was so powerful and strong that they seem to hang on to every word. As Christians, when Jesus speaks, we must sit up, take note, and realize that what he's saying is so vital to the Christian life. And maybe that's why the Red Letter Bible is supposed to be good to the hammer, because it makes me think, right, this is the point where I need to take in. Okay? To take this in context, in school, I'm a school teacher as well. So I have to take football team. I'm constantly trying to give them information to try and help them become better players. I've spoken to the kids, they know everything. They know how good they are, their desires of telling them at home. So when it comes to me telling them something, then it's in one ear and out the other. And sometimes I often say to them, if Ronaldo or any footballer, James Beckham, come into the school today, to give you advice on how you're going to become a better player, now we need to put every single word into practice to try and make yourself a better player. And from that passion there, the thought of a few skills, that's what we should be doing. We should put every word that he said into practice. We must understand that there's no greater feeling in the world than being in the world and being still in the presence of God. And this is contrary to what actually took around over and over there about scoring a goal. He said, it gives me the happiest feeling in the world. I just love scoring. And it doesn't matter if it's a simple goal from 2-3, a long shot, or a dribble around several players. I just love to score all kinds of goals. And it'll be interesting to see, I didn't see the end of Andy Morrison. And mine is the growth tonight, or else I think I would have been in the center. But I'm not all watching it. It'll be interesting to see what Andy actually, how he describes winning Wimbledon. The pressure that's been on him over the last 77 years must have been absolutely immense. maybe not a fan of Grand Ole Miss, but I'm sure he has come up with some sort of superlative or words or media will to describe this feeling of winning over them. And that's the world's kindness, but that is the greatest feeling. I don't know, whatever body you're into, or maybe the coffee meeting or the customer that may have been the hottest in the world, I don't know. But basically, what we're trying to say is that knowing Jesus and sitting in his presence is the happiest thing. So, reading through all the verses, and indeed, when we focus on the reality, we can see that Jesus is telling us the true happiness comes from looking at life from God's perspective and not from the world, and that our relationship with him is all we need. And the problem of mine, maybe it's not my mind, but certainly, after Johnson, by the way, from chapter 5. I was talking to her a while ago, and I was always throwing these questions to her, like, what is the other group or children are going to do, or what if you want to see from your children? And this was only maybe 3 months ago, and I managed to say that all she ever wanted now for her children was that they stay together. And as you get older, you start to realize that is the most important thing. And then, even now I realize that your relationship with God is the only thing that will actually matter to your life, and not anything else falls away and is insignificant. And that was just a nice thing for me to be able to say. Tonight I think looking around three things, just like a couple of minutes, you promise me 3 points to. There we go. We've got one. The three things from chapters 5 and 7, but more specifically from our chosen verse, Love Your Enemies. The first one, my opinion, is number one, to challenge the people's perspective of the law and do our own law, but also definitely, but you can do the other. So, in Matthew 5, 17 to 20, Jesus says, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I'm sure among Christian discussion, there is many questions often asked about what exactly will Jesus mean here. What is the law and I was unaware of that he has to do it? Two questions still keep the law. Are the Ten Commandments important? What does fulfill the law mean? And there are many, many more. A quick set of history, God is a decent law very back in the first 5 books of the Old Testament to bring the people in knowledge of sin. In other words, to illustrate to humanity how deadly sin was and the consequences of it. No matter how hard people tried in the Old Testament to keep the law, they failed and they still fell right short of the standard of goodness. And this is why Jesus came. He came to be the one who created the standard and that made them have to try and get acceptance by God from keeping rules and regulations. Now we even have to have, we now only have to have faith in him, and the grace of God allows us to be acceptable before him. The law of the prophet, which Jesus refers to also in that short passage, is a clear reference to the Hebrew Bible, which we now call the Old Testament. And this is where we see the challenge of Jesus. He wanted the disciples, and all the people with him, most of them were really loyal Jews, and he indeed measured their moral conduct and character by those scriptures to see that, number one, the Old Testament was still divinely inspired scripture and important to their daily living, but more importantly, number two, that they had often been misled by their rabbis and teachers over the teaching of the law. In fact, in Matthew 23, 1 to 30, Jesus labeled many of the rabbis and teachers hypocrites and warned the people not to follow their example. In reality, the people were taught a heavy Catholic version of the Old Testament truth. Quite often, teachers stressed the letter of the law rather than the spirit. Those were times when how we get to being misled by our own religiosity and worshipping. Do we water down sin to suit our own selfish desires? Oftentimes, I do myself. Do we think keeping rules and regulations will win God's favor? Maybe it's the old cliche things of going to church twice on a Sunday, or finding a Bible study on Wednesday night, praying 5 minutes in the morning, praying 5 minutes at night, doing something you know God would not approve of doing all that. because we know you'll forgive me. God knows the heart of man and motive, and thought and idea, and this is what Jesus has found talent to deal with. So, out of the passage of 1, 5, 7, there all these people are being challenged in all these different areas, and one of the areas that we, as that have been, we've only got tonight is love your enemies. So the second point is the Jesus wanted to change. So Jesus wanted to change his disciples and his followers, their thinking, and he wants to change their voices. So Jesus shows us in the passage that following him will involve radical change of lifestyle and attitudes in everyday things such as money, care, relationships, possessions. And when we look at the world through God's lens and perspective, life, that whole life becomes clear and has our meaning and purpose. Many of the people who engage some of the disciples thought that they were doing okay religiously and on the right track of God, but Jesus knew different, because he knew exactly what they were thinking in their hearts. And he knows all our hearts, and he knows all our motives every second of the day. So, just as we move on to this is where we find speaking of love your enemies. And it says, you've heard about it, this says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be given as your Father in heaven. He calls his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even tax collectors. Not even the tax collectors doing that. And if you hate only your own people, some of you doing more than others, do not even hate them through that. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It's the same as, I'm sure the more Jesus speaks, the least he's pleasant. That he probably became confused, annoyed, and upset. And to them, Jesus was asking them to go to follow him. And after all, they had been taught for so long that it was okay that he could take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that was acceptable. Jesus' point was that the best demonstrate the Christ's disciples through the love for others, and indeed, particularly their enemies, and by not taking revenge or holding a grudge, or even gossiping about them in the workplace or wherever you had a problem. I remember one time I was on a mission trip with Arctic Martin, who you know been here doing loads of services. And I was sitting beside a guy who had been in prison, I think it was 13 years, for fine military activity. And told anybody to share it. Just sitting beside somebody like that, and we were probably talking to him and asking maybe a few questions, but he was very, very open. And I asked him when he became a Christian, and he said he was became a Christian inside the prison. And he didn't even tell me that I was asking how hard it was to be a Christian inside, and he actually said, well, what they do is they test you to see if you're actually genuine, and he said that a couple of times he was drunk by other boys in the prison to see if he would retaliate or react. And if he didn't retaliate or react to the incident that most people probably see, then that's how you know there was a genuine change in his life. And he was one of the main goals to come beyond the law by declaring that I say you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Fear love is a command, and this requires supernatural strength. Keep prayer to return evil for good, etc. To return good for good is human, but to return good for evil is divine. But it's important to know that you don't have to do this alone. God sent the Holy Spirit to help us overcome such difficulties and guide us into all truth in all situations, and to also give us the words and the attitude just at the right time when we came to do it. I'm sure we've all had words on the edge of our tongue when, I don't know, whatever, something goes wrong and you're just ready to snap and your brain's trying to snap. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just maybe stops it. Now, there's the Holy Spirit that stops it. And I remember one time myself playing football match with Gryffindor many years ago, and we were playing against Lindsay. This was before fellowship was a friendly, nice place to go for the night. He played the hostile back in the day. And I remember fight spoke out in the pit, and one of the commands in the change room, maybe from the chair or the manager, was that if fight spoke out, everybody must go in and step up each other and show that we're together. And I remember this one time, a fight did break out, one of the guys was sent off. I remember some friends who worked as part of the change room what a few of them. And I remember the stopping in the middle of the pit, and something said to me, that's not useful to the injured, we just say that. And that's the root of all the game. And I'm sure you've all had situations like that, not in your workplace, at home, wherever, out in the street, I don't know. Where the Holy Spirit has just calmed down. So are you letting the next one come into your heart, change your life, and affect your situation, your thoughts, your relationship, your mood, your workplace, your friendship, and every area of your life? That is the key question. You have to want God to come in and do that. And then you do let that happen. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will take time, and you'll just be gradually feeling in your attitude towards all different things. The final thing that we can get from all of the passage is to commit. I'll get to this. To commit to Jesus. Jesus wants you to follow him. If you want something, he wants you to commit the life to him. If it's something to people that are holding you back, or taking the step, or opening the door that Jesus is knocking, maybe it's a situation at work where you think somebody's going to ridicule you. I know we hear a lot of people in sport talking about the middle of competition because they didn't get all the tones that come with it. And I even know where a man of friends used to talk to him all the time about God and ask him, why can you not be competition? What's stopping you from taking that kind of step? And said, I don't understand how God could ask me to love him more than my children. And if you think about it, like this, it's a fairly much point of view. But until you experience what God is even bringing, that you won't actually understand that he's bringing more love and more joy for everything in your life. And I remember actually one time still having some text one day and we're talking about appreciating life. And I come from a Christian perspective and I've been over excited because of how God is there, I was over excited. And I was really important. I kind of looked at this as amazing, I was getting so excited and all. And I was telling that when you have Jesus in your heart, you can appreciate life so much more better. And you're in a broken mind, you say, so how do you appreciate life? You sort of mess with me just a bit. He wasn't Christian, and he didn't understand it. And people don't understand and can't grasp it until you've experienced what Jesus is really incredible. It's like the song is coming soon. It's unbelievable. So, it's what I told you about. I remember when I was in 2016, I used to have a fight with my brother all the time, and this one night we were fighting, and I remember feeling so guilty after. I remember asking Jesus in the hell that night, and it was about 12 o'clock at night. I remember when I woke up, and I just had this peace in my heart, and I knew there was something to do. And obviously that was a long time ago, but I haven't been all the way through the game, but I always knew that the peace was there. So what is stopping you? Maybe there's somebody here who is something that's stopping you. After Jesus in your heart will be the best decision that you can ever make. It'll be better than signing for a house, it will be better than going to a new job. It will be the best decision you can ever make. For these people who already know Jesus, he wants to keep going and keep pressing on towards your goal and discussing Jesus in every area of your life and every situation. Like the gratitude talks about, these are all things that we're involved in every day, and often Jesus wants us to do. So, thank you so much for listening, and we are just going to come.
Well, thank you again for your work here this evening. But sometimes, not only the people who first heard Jesus say these things, but that we also need our perspective. And the perspective how important and how significant your word and your law actually are. Thank you for the reminder of the importance of the Old Testament scriptures and an invitation to your people and to us also of this serious purpose. Thank you for Jesus. We can help and lay that for the spirit of the Lord. Thank you to God for reminding us again tonight of how in all of your teaching, Lord Jesus, you are speaking to your being and the way your people think. And God, we do remember in some of the examples and illustrations that you have not given to us in the book of its connection with this world, with the concept of its manner of living, the world expecting, demanding, intelligent, one way of thinking things. The teaching of Jesus, and revealing our part of the only very different way of thinking. Change our thinking. Change our way of thinking. That our way of living may be different. I thank you for the challenge of your word, the testimony of your people in the school. What means really what it really comes to be a very very attack? When there is an opportunity, I will get also on truth as well. Neither of our hearts can be. Jesus teaches us to love our enemies and pray for those who are in. And God, thank you again for the prayers you have heard. To those who like her with us, and to those who, for the glorious and mercy of God, come to believe in Jesus. That we may indeed trust us. That we may indeed become more and more and more the kind of people you want us to be. More and more and more people who reflect in the way we live and the way we treat others the true power of God. But it is difficult for us, it is hard for us to see. We are not thankful as Nathan has reminded us that for this high call, there is a resource, there is help at hand. You have given us your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us more and more to live in the beginning. Just challenge us this week, and the different situations in which we shall live in, remind us of that very powerful Spirit coming. That we don't show our disciples, that we don't show our allegiance, we don't show our display our love for Jesus, but our love for others, not us. We can show our allegiance with making for our enemies. But give us grace to your religion.